Hello everyone, my name is Ted, and my advisors are David Wright and Dr. Ian Small, and I'm a first year PhD student, and I'm presenting the data here in that first year. And what I was looking at is glucosinolates, how sulfur and glucosinolates can be managed in Brassica carinata in Florida. Carinata is it's an upcoming jet fuel crop, and the reason is because not only is it can produce high amounts of oil content, but also the fatty acid profile is one that is very favorable for the biojet industry. And it also has the potential to not only increase profits for farmers, but it provide also ecosystem services. High protein in the seed meal it also allows it for the what's left over after extraction of oil to be used for feed and livestock. However, there's a glucosinolates in the seed meal is too high, then the livestock there's a reduction in palatability and also some levels of toxicity. Sulfur and oilseed brassicas, there's usually a very high demand, and some of it has partially to do because of the glucosinolates. And therefore, recommendations for glucosinolates or for sulfur applications is from 10 to 45 kilograms per hectare. Also, studies have shown that there is a negative correlation between glucosinolates and protein and oil content in the seeds. So a little background on glucosinolates, which is what I'm mainly interested on, is that they're sulfur rich, and they get hydrolyzed by this enzyme called myrosinase. And when that happens, it turns into an isothiocyanate, which is what the active ingredient. It turns into the active compound and can be toxic to animals. Isothiocyanates in the environment, there's a lot of studies where it shows how it can improve soil quality. And one way it does that is through suppression of various pathogens, and this includes nematodes. However, the way isothiocyanates react in the soil varies a lot, and it depends on a lot of environmental properties. And one interesting factor that I found is that even though the active chemistry in the soil dissipates, because it changes the microbiota in the soil, it still continues to suppress a lot of these soil plant pathogens long after the active chemistry has been dissipated. There are three main classes of glucosinolates, and aliphatics is usually the ones that are considered to be a problem in brassica oil seeds in regards to seed meal. An amino acid precursor is methionine, and this is important because methionine has that extra sulfur, and this allows me to come up with an idea that if you can control if you can manage sulfur, then the first thing you're going to start impacting is aliphatics. And there is some evidence to back that up in the literature, where if you reduce sulfur availability, then there is aliphatic glucosinolates are the first one to be impacted, leaving the other ones there to keep the plant resilient against soil-borne pathogens. So in my objectives in this study is to determine how much sulfur is needed to maximize the production of oil in Brassica carinata at various locations and soil environments. And then using these response curves, I want to identify sulfur application rates in which glucosinolates can be reduced without affecting yield and oil content in the seed. In this one-year study, it was conducted in two locations, one in Quincy, Florida, and the other in Citra, which is located near the center. experimental designs. It was a randomized complete block designs with four replications. And the factors in Quincy were we were looking at is species. There's two different ones. We're looking at Brassica carinata against Brassica napus, and various sulfur rates from 0, 11, 22, 34, and 45 kilograms per hectare. In Citra, we were also looking at sulfur rates at 0, 17, 34, and 50 kilograms per hectare. And we're also looking at application timing, and this is because there's not a lot of, the year before we were having a lot of issues with trying to figure out the right dosage and the right timing, and so we added this timing and to try to grasp that. And within that, we split it two times and three times. So for planting in Quincy, we had some issues. The first time we planted, we saw that there wasn't really good germination, and so about a month later, we had to replant into a different location. Although that was done, we still had about the same time frame from planting to harvest date. And I also wanted to point out that the nutrient analysis in the soil in Quincy, there was the second time around, it turns out that there was relatively moderate amounts of sulfur, which may have impacted the results of this experiment. These are the weather conditions during that period, and also that we had during our planting day, there was a lot of rain and some washout in some of these fields in Quincy. Although temperature ranges and solar radiation in both areas were about the same. So here, this is the plot here in Citra. So it's very sandy. And this is the one in Quincy. Looking at seed yield, there was a response to sulfurate, and there was not a response to sulfurate. The only response we had was within species. With the largest difference in the 11 pounds per acre, or 11 kilograms per hectare. In carinata, it was actually less seed production in Quincy than there was in Citra. Looking at Citra response to sulfurate, the yield, there was no significant difference both in yield and also in glucosinolates. Now getting into the seed chemical characteristics. In Quincy, Florida, looking at glucosinolates, we didn't find a difference between sulfurates and glucosinolates, but we did see species differences, large ones at that, where Brassica napus had a lot lower amounts of glucosinolates, and this is in micromoles per gram compared to carinata that had over 90 micromoles per gram of glucosinolates in its seed. Looking at the oil content, there are similar, but there were still differences between species, average around 450 grams per kilogram of oil. With protein, again, we didn't see any differences in sulfur rates, but we did see differences in species, where Brassica carinata did have higher amounts of protein, and this is the same with uric acid. And this is particularly one of the key factors in why we're trying to push carinata, because uric acid is a long-chain fatty acid, and this allows it for efficient fractionation for biojet fuel. And this slide shows glucosinolate in micromoles per gram, and compared to the sulfur rates, and seeing the species, the difference in species, and how there was the only difference in sulfur rates that we saw was from the zero control to the 17 kilograms per hectare, and then after that, there was no effect on additional amounts of sulfur applications. So in summary, Brassica napus yielded more seed than Brassica carinata, but without any response to sulfur applications. Seed content in Quincy revealed that Brassica carinata can produce more glucosinolates, around 70%, uric acid about around 33%, and protein around 10% than Brassica napus. Also, that glucosinolate concentrations increase in Brassica carinata at the first application rate, but thereafter there was no observable differences in the from the Quincy location. And this kind of shows what my overarching goals with glucosinolates are with Brassica carinata, and that is to first look at the plant and how glucosinolate fluctuates with different stresses in the environment. That includes biotic and abiotic stresses, and then how we can manage that in the field, not only for pest suppression, but as part of a integrated pest management program. And that's about it. Thank you. Do you have any questions? Yeah, I showed that real quick, and what we saw is that there was already probably, because of the problem where we had to move from the first location to the second location, we realized that that second location probably had enough soil, enough sulfur to basically provide everything that carinata needed, and therefore that probably impacted the results of this experiment. This year, however, when we're doing it, we're making sure that they're going to be planted in sulfur-deficient soils. That way we can control the uptake of it. I think for Quincy, we had a lot of rain in the winter months, and that was unusual. In fact, there was a lot of washout in certain plots of my experiments, and maybe that could have had some impact in some of my results as well. So it just wasn't really a good year for me in this trying to assess this. Any other questions? All right, thank you.